Acts chapter 17. And before I actually read these verses here in Acts, I was basically centering in on the book of Acts this morning. I'll give you a few other scriptures here, but basically be centered on that one. I just want to ask, are we doing the CD? The CD started? Good. I wanted to have a little shout out for someone that I found out about this week. First of all, thank you for doing the CDs and so forth, the DVDs. Someone told me this week that they are taking some, and I don't even know how old these things are. I honestly don't. Kim may know. But a man is taking these CDs, and he is taking them to a retirement home in Emporia. And so I want to say to all of you who are listening to the CD, at the Bloom Retirement Home in Emporia, to all of the residents and to the staff. I heard that you lost one of your staff members recently. Certainly, I've been praying and just that God just comfort you and bless you, protect you. But this individual told me because you can't go in, and so they're not able to have their services like they typically would, but they have a player. They have a CD player. And the residents are coming out in the wheelchairs down the hallways, and they're keeping their distance. But they said, your voice carries. I said, well, thank God. That's the sound man making me sound good. And the voice is carrying around the corridors of this facility there at the Bloom Retirement Home in Emporia, and the residents are listening, and some of the staff are listening, and even for those who wouldn't typically come to one of the services, they're glad it's just something to look forward to once a week. So I said, well, thank God. Amen. Thank God. To God be the glory is right. Amen. So anyway, Lord bless you. And so whenever you listen to this CD, thank God, and it is a blessing. I want you to know this. You encourage my heart. You encourage my heart to hear that praise report from you. So, Father, again, we just come before you right now. Would you bless those residents? Would you just encourage their hearts? Would you continue to just protect them, Lord? I pray for not even a cold to enter that place. I pray that you would just give them grace and peace and strength. I pray for all of the staff and workers to be protected, just as sure as I pray for that facility where my mom is, Lord, for your protection, for your glory. I pray that you would draw people. Thank you for senior saints today, Lord. I pray that you would encourage their hearts, bless their families, and at your ordained time, would you open those doors once again freely where their loved ones could come and be with them once again. And so we thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the message I wanted to share this morning, I want to kind of center in Acts 17. Let me start by saying that all humans, just because we're created in the image of God, we share certain characteristics together. We, for example, it doesn't matter what time frame we may live in throughout history, doesn't matter about our ethnicity, our culture, language, our education or wealth, humans share certain characteristics. One is, I was thinking about it, all humans love. All people love. Now, it may be suppressed, but we can't point to one people group on earth and say, oh, they don't love. No, they love. And people laugh. It's just something we share in our common humanity. People laugh. Again, we may suppress as we get older especially, but we laugh and we learn. It's something that is our capability that God has granted to us by being created in His image. And then another common characteristic that we have, and if you'll give me an opportunity to bear this out, is that all people worship. All humans worship. In Acts chapter 17, verse 22, the Bible says this, Acts chapter 17, verse 22, Paul was in the city of Athens, and he had been there a while. He was waiting for some of his missionary companions to show up, and it says that Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus. It was a place called Mars Hill, and he said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, and I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. The message I want to share in these times or the moments that we have together today is simply this. My worship reveals my heart. My worship reveals my heart. And just as you're thinking about that, if you want to write it down, again, give me a moment to bear it out. Let me ask you this. Why do young and old alike respond to music like we do? Why do we sing lullabies to little infants and babies? Why do, you can play, you don't have to tell them anything. Put some toddlers in a room and turn on music and see if they sit still. It's like, it's into us, it's in our nature. Why is it that I can go to the nursing home, been there with Pastor Gibson, you know, maybe leading a service, Carmel's playing, they're worshiping. I'm telling you, up pushing 100 years old, they might not be able to stand, but when the music plays, you see the foot begin to tap, or you see the hand begin to tap, or you see their hand begin to raise up, because something within us draws us to worship. You say, well, I don't believe that. Okay, so you don't have a radio in your vehicle, right? That you ever turn on. You're not out working on your car in the garage and turn on some music. You don't have earbuds or whatever in your ear. You don't have a music app on your phone. We do those things because, in fact, what about this? Why is the music industry such a powerful influence? It's because all worship. Now, I did not say everyone worships God. We may not call it worship, but it is common to our humanity, everyone, all people worship. Again, this morning, I want to just center in on my worship reveals my heart. So let me ask you this, just for you to think about between you and God, all right? I've written down a few things here and just want to just, again, you ask yourself this. What gets my highest affection? What has number one? I mean, what is it or who is it who has my highest affection? We all give affection somewhere, but who gets my number one affection? What gets my uncompromising commitment? Now, I may be committed to a number of things, and they can all be good, but what is uncompromising? Is it maybe a sport, or is it this, or a hobby, or leisure? Again, they can all have their place. Please don't take what I'm saying as like those things are evil in themselves. It's a matter of priority. So what priority, how do I prioritize my time? You say, brother, I know some of y'all are working 6 days a week. We have brother working today, and some of them being overworked, and they're wore out. And I know they don't have the same time that, you know, everyone has, but even whatever little time they have, God can still be a priority. That's the thing in their time. They can still give maybe a few minutes to God. What about our energy or even our money? How do we prioritize those things? Because they all come into play with how we worship. That's what really worship is all about. So my worship reveals my heart. Would you look in Acts 17, verse 26? Acts 17, 26. And the scripture says this, that God has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. Why, Lord? So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope or hunt or find him, even though he's not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. So wherever we are in life, God's not far away. We may think he is, but he's close. He's closer than we think. We were created by God and for God, and there's something within us that leads us on a search, and that search will never be satisfied with the physical alone. Now, we have physical needs that can be met physically and relationally, but there is something because we are created in the image of God in our spirit that our spirit will never be satisfied with stuff. And that's why we can even see those who are popular or wealthy and have what we think is the dream and still down and discouraged and some bound and even, sadly, some ending their own lives. Isn't that tragic? Again, there's a place for the physical, but there's a place for the spiritual. And it's the spiritual that's going to last forever. We even express it in our art forms. Let's keep reading here. And the Bible says this. Again, you want to go back there to Acts 17. And the scripture says that, verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. He was using some of their popular poems and so forth, the culture of his day, to relate Jesus to the people. And that's wisdom, I think, for us. Some people, I can't just go and necessarily hammer with the scripture right off the bat. We bring God's word in, but if I can find some common ground with someone, we can build from there and use it to point them to Jesus. And that's what he did. So this was the example he sets before us. And verse 16, Acts 17, 16, the scripture says this. While he was waiting there, it says, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city was given over to idols. See, all idolatry is misplaced worship. Idolatry is simply misplaced worship. It's taking that affection, my priority, that commitment that really goes first to God and placing it somewhere or someone else. Then it becomes idolatry. Not necessarily a bad thing in itself, but we can have it out of place in our lives. So my worship reveals my heart. I want to just give you a couple truths, I believe, from the scripture here. And the first one was related to this. Why should we even worship God? Why should we worship God? First of all, I'll say this, because of who he is. We read that scripture there where it says in verse 24, it says, God who made the world and everything that's in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Just think about this a moment, please. God is all powerful. He is the absolute sum of perfection and goodness and purity. And the scripture tells us that a human being in this mortal body cannot even live in his presence, because his glory is that strong that this physical body in its mortality could not handle it. The Bible says he dwells in a light that is unapproachable, that no human has ever seen or can see. Now, we'll see it one day, but these bodies will be changed. Then we'll see him. But just think, God, everything that we see and everything that we do not see, I'm in biology now. And there's a biology professor. No, he's not a professor. He's a major sitting over here, a doctor on the front pew. And I'm telling you, I appreciate God's design. There is a world. I mean, there is a universe inside the cells of your body. It's really amazing how someone can understand and learn this and not believe there is a designer. I don't know. But he spoke and things appeared. He made what is visible and what is invisible. And the scripture says that he's so powerful, he's holding it all together by the word of his power, even right now. So first, we can just worship him because he's God, because of who he is. But on a more personal level, we can worship him for what he has done. Because even though he is sinless and holy, and we could never approach him and our human sinness and wickedness. See, another characteristic of humanity is we all sin. And we're all in need of a Savior. But God loved us so much that he punished his own Son on the cross for our wrongs. Jesus bore the judgment for our sin. He took our place because he loved us that much and willingly separated himself from God so that we never have to be separated from him. And we can simply come to him with childlike faith to say, yes, I know I've sinned. My sin separates me from a holy God, but I believe you loved me. You sent Jesus to die on a cross to pay for my sins. You brought him back to life the third day. And right now I believe you and I receive Jesus as the Lord of my life. And we're born again. We're given a brand new start. And if you know him, we've got it. Plenty of reasons to worship. So we worship him for who he is and what he has done. The Bible says this still in Acts 17, verse 30. Acts 17, 30. He says, truly, times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. That means to turn. It's change of mind. It's a change of heart, because he has appointed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he's ordained, and he's given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. True worship brothers and sisters, is based on knowing God as a Father. It's based on, that's why Jesus said, those who worship Him, the Father is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's a Father, it's a relationship, it's a walk with God. I can tell you that if we know God as our Father and we are convinced and know how much He loves us, it's not very difficult to love Him back as a son or daughter and to worship Him. You know, the word, in fact, would you just do this, maybe where you're watching or even if you're right here, would you just do this? Would you just raise your hand? And then would you just like, just bow your head like that? Okay, thank you, thank you. You know what you just did? That's the scriptural definition of worship. The idea of that word in Old and New Testament means to bow and to reverence. And so when we worship God, it's like we're reverencing Him. We are acknowledging that He is God. And even in our heart, whether we're physically bowing or not, we bow our heart before Him. That's worship. And that's the worship. That's why I'm saying it's my worship reveals my heart. Now, worship is expressed outwardly. I'll give you a couple of truths on that in just a moment. But it's more about the heart. I want to emphasize that. Let me read you this scripture in Mark. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verses 6 and 7. Jesus is speaking here. And this is what He says. He says that Jesus answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people,' notice, 'honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men.'" See, it's possible to be religious, just like the people in Athens, and we can do the outward duty and we can go through the motions. God's not after our outward actions. He wants our heart. If He gets our heart, the outward actions will follow. That's the key. It's really about our heart. Would you say, my worship reveals my heart? And then two truths. I'll close with these. I will give you these. This is so important. First, worship is a witness. Worship is a witness. Say, what do you mean by that? I mean that our worship, genuine, true worship, can be a testimony that Jesus really is Lord of my life. Worship is a witness. Let me read you the words from the 40th Psalm and David speaking here. Psalm 40. And verse 1, it says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry." Thank God. Thank God He hears our cry. "He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps." Brothers and sisters, if we know God, He's lifted us out of the quicksand of sin and lifted us up so that we can be free from sin and brought back into right relationship with God. Then he says in verse 3, "He's put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God." Notice these words, please. "Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord." Isn't that something? That's a powerful testimony that God has put a song in my heart. Now, you can't see a song in my heart, but you can see my worship when I'm lifting my hands. You can see my worship when I'm giving God my attention and my focus. See, that worship can be expressed in, it may be lifting up hands. It may be bowing down at times. It may be at home in my office, just kind of on my knees. But it's worship. I'm not doing it for a show. I'm doing it because I know God as my Father. But if someone sees it, if I'm in a restaurant, I'm by myself, it doesn't matter. I don't make a show. I bow my head and I thank God because I've got something to eat. There are many in the world who don't. And so I just thank Him. But I don't do it for a show, but others, if they notice, I want God to get the glory. I want them to know, I believe God has blessed me to be able to eat this food and to provide for this meal. And I really believe this. I'm telling you, a genuine walk with God will outlast and outshine some show put on to impress another human being. My worship reveals my heart. I remember, and it's not about style. It's about spirit. Because some people, maybe the style is, they like gospel. I know some people say, I like my music with a little twang. I like the bluegrass or something like that. Some people are more into like a rap type gospel or a contemporary Christian. I'm at a season in my life. I like different genres of music, different styles. But I like the worship and praise music that's on some of the stations and stuff, that's, you know, songs that we may sing here. And I remember in Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas were arrested, and not just arrested, they were beaten with rods because they cast a demon out of a girl and set her free. But that girl was a slave owned by someone. And the owner got mad because there went their money, their profits, had them arrested, thrown in prison, and beaten with rods. And at midnight, with their ankles in shackles in a prison, they started praising and praying and giving God worship and praise, and the other prisoners heard them. Think worship is a witness? Because God sent an earthquake. Now, that doesn't always happen, but God sent a physical earthquake, and everyone's, not just Paul and Silas, every prisoner's chains were loosed. And they were all free, and they could have all taken off, and that jailer would have been executed for losing a prisoner. When he started to kill himself, Paul said, wait, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. It was late at night. They didn't cut the lights on. He went and grabbed the lantern. He comes in. He runs in. He's trembling. And the Bible says he gets on his knees before these prisoners and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You've got something that I need. You've got someone I want in my life. You tell me how. I'm ready right now. And my whole household is going to do the same thing. His whole worship is a witness. I remember, let me share this testimony real quick. Years ago, I worked at Frito-Lay. I think I was in a warehouse in Ashland. We'd go in the morning, like, you know, 4 or 5, whatever it was. We'd load our truck, and we'd go out and work our route 12, however many hours a day, go back, drop the vehicle off, and go home and repeat it the next day. Well, there was one guy, and I knew just because we used to have the pricing guns back then. Some of y'all might remember. Now it's all electronic. But he had Lynyrd Skynyrd written on his. So I knew he liked the Southern rock, and I used to listen to him some myself. But anyway, we were talking one morning, and he was sharing with me how he had gone to a Christian concert at a church in Richmond. And he mentioned a group, and I was familiar with them. I used to listen to them. They're called Petra. And it was more like a little bit of a soft rock type style. And so he goes in, and he wasn't used to like a charismatic type worship. So he hears people, you know, speaking in tongues, and they're lifting their hands and clapping. And he said, he turned to his friend and said, let's get out of here. He added another word or two, but I just and he said, I saw these guys. Now, he was familiar with sound, so he helped out some backstage. And so he said, I saw these guys out there, man, with long hair and jeans. I said, oh, these guys are just a show, man. And then his countenance just kind of changed. He looked at me and he said, but not these guys. They were the real deal. I said, wow. I said, thank God for that testimony. That here they were. They weren't just kind of, you know, doing a Christian concert. They had their own walk with the Lord. And that was their expression of worship before him. Just think, when we come together, if everyone just puts the focus on Jesus and we're worshiping him in spirit and in truth, just think of the potential we have for God to move right here in our midst or right there in your home, wherever you are. It may just be a witness to your family, but wherever you are, you can be a worshiper. That's the key. It's about our heart. Worship is a witness. It's a witness. Why do I do my job the way I do? Because I want to be a testimony for the Lord. Why do I do my schoolwork? Why do I get along with my wife or my family or raise my children or handle my finances as I do? Because I want to be a witness. Because worship is a witness and obedience is the highest form of worship. What good is it for me to come in singing a song, clapping my hands, but not live for God outside of a service? It's after the heart. So worship is a witness. And then finally, worship is warfare. Worship is warfare. Let me read you this scripture in Psalms 18. Psalms 18, beginning in verse 1. Psalms 18:1, the Bible says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. That's a great confession to make right there. The Lord is my rock. He's my strength, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust. He's my shield and the horn of my salvation. He's my stronghold. Watch this. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. He's worthy just because he's God. He says, I'm going to call on the Lord first because he's worthy to be praised. And then notice, so shall I be saved from my enemies. That's a powerful truth. That word praised can in the Hebrew mean to shine. So when we're worshiping and praising the Lord, it's like all the focus is on Jesus. We put the spotlight on Jesus. And David said, when I called on him because he's worthy, he saved me from my enemies. One more common thing we have among humanity is we all battle. We all have our battles. Brothers and sisters, worship can bring God into our battles. And we don't have to, that's what the phrase means, the battle belongs to the Lord. I have to show up, I have to do some things, but if God is with me, I can have the victory. We believe God for victory. Brother was sharing with me one Wednesday night, we were going over some songs, talking about the battle belongs to the Lord. I said, what does that mean to you? I was asking the worship team, and they said, you know how sometimes a little kid wants to lift something heavy, or they want to do something, and you let them think they're doing it, but you're really the one behind lifting it. The battle belongs to the Lord. The Lord shows up. How is it that a 15-year-old can face a man 9.5 feet tall with armor and he's standing there with 5 stones and a sling and kill him? It's because the battle belongs to the Lord, because he wasn't going in human strength. David was a worshiper, a man after God's own heart. He brought God into the fight. The giant wasn't standing in front of him. The giant was with him, looking on that little Goliath. Where do you need victory in a battle today? Will you worship God and bring him into the fight with you? We can be on the Lord's side and he's on our side. The scripture says, I would have perished. We'd have been defeated if it hadn't been the Lord who was on our side. How is it that the nation of Israel could defeat more powerful and larger armies? Because they worshiped. There were times they literally went out with the worship team leading the way, and they worshiped God, and God did for them what they could not do in their own human strength. When the apostles, I'll invite the worship team. I'll keep going all day. Y'all come on. Worship team, come on back up. In Acts chapter 4, the Bible says that the apostles prayed for this man who was lame, and God healed him. Some of the religious leaders of the day didn't like it and had them arrested because they did it in the name of Jesus, the authority and power of Jesus. And so they arrested, they threatened them and let them go. And the Bible says they went back to their own companions. They called a prayer meeting. And they didn't come to the Lord saying, oh, this is so terrible. Did you hear what they said? We just don't know what we're going to do, Lord. They said, Lord, you're God. You're the creator. You did it. There's nothing too hard for you. You see what they're doing? We just ask you to come on and give us greater boldness so that we can speak your word. Just continue to heal people. Just continue to work miracles. And Lord, just have your way. And the Bible says that the Lord, he filled them with the Spirit. They spoke the word of God boldly, and that place was shaken. That's victory. When you can stand in the face of persecution and ridicule and still be true to God, that is victory. My worship reveals my heart. It's not about who's jumping up and down. It's living for God. I'll close with this. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, also translated, your spiritual worship. Yielding our body. Could we stand together as we go to the Lord in prayer? Would you take a moment right now, just if that's your heart, just say, Lord, I don't want religion. I want worship. I want you. I want a relationship. Maybe it's just for you a matter of reprioritizing your own walk with the Lord. Would you take a moment right now? Again, your affection, commitment, time, energy, money. Who has number one to you? Then I'll lead us in prayer. Father, today, would you just have your way and lead us into a fresh commitment to you? A fresh commitment. You're number one, and no one else and no thing else competes. Thank you for all of the other blessings, but right now, you're Lord. And may that be expressed in everything we do, everything we say. Keep bringing us back to the heart of worship, Lord, that it's all about you. Not about show, about our heart being right with you. Then out of genuine walk with you, Lord, may others be drawn to you as well. And may we walk in the victory that you have provided for us by your goodness and grace. In Jesus' name.